Good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night, and it's once again it's time for The Hidden Work by UJ Gold. We've been spending a great deal of time working our way through a wonderful volume that exhibits and explodes the prayer absolute for all of us as a way, as a vehicle, actually. It's become a vehicle. Well, we've gotten ourselves to chapter 14, and in chapter 14, the author tells us, you know what, there's something called angel training. And in angel training, you can do something that you can't really do on your own. And in angel training, what it has to do with bringing together a group of individuals. We call those individual groups choirs. Those individuals come together in a angelic offering, and it's a choir of angels. So we have a choirs of angels coming together, and each of those choirs has worked diligently over the last few months to put together what I call a portal. And each of those portals is for a specific celestial hall. And we've been through almost all of them now. Tonight is the final one. This is the final one that we have to offer. And I want to emphasize, now is the time to go back and read this chapter. Reread this chapter. Look at it. This is the kind of work that we're talking about in all of the literature that you're so fond of, whether it's the Gurdjieffian literature, it's other fourth way literature, it's the Carlos Castaneda literature. We talk about higher vibratory forces. This is it. This is it happening. This is it occurring. These are people doing that work. And it's only in doing that the knowledge becomes manifest. Only in doing does the knowledge become manifest. And in this case, you just can't do it on your own. You can't have one person simply go out there and study everything they can about the Archangel Michael. They can do that, and they can become a scholar. But to do what is suggested in this chapter about angelic, this angel training, you form a choir, and then the choir has enough power to draw down. In our case, we're beginners, okay? We're just the beginners. But we do, in fact, we did and have made some progress here. And because of that progress, we can note that as such. It is not lost. What happens is that the essential self was opened and reintroduced to these higher dimensions. And in those higher dimensions, there's a touch point, and it says, okay, maybe you are ready for a little more. This is not the cuddly, warm, oh, you know, my angel took care of me last night, and I felt really cozy. No, this is a different thing. And it is opening the door to a higher dimensions. What does that mean, higher dimensions? It means that the essential self is starting to become more and more and more a critical part of your existence. Right now, our existence is primarily rooted in the human biological machine, and we are machines as such. And unfortunately, for the most part, we are asleep as such. However, as the machine awakens and the essential self comes forward and it springs into action, it needs a little bit needs to know where to go. The last parts of this chapter of this book called The Hidden Work begin to tell us that. Now, later on, we're going to be looking at the ABD. That's a sophisticated means of Bardo travel. Right now, this is the work we're doing. We're introducing ourselves to become formless beings. And as formless beings, we are less and less human and more angelic. We're beginners at this. We've just begun. But I do say we have made those efforts and we have taken some steps. We've stepped into that world just a bit. So what I want to do tonight is, you know, we had a little bit of a review, I think, a few weeks ago, and now tonight we're having the last presentation of the last choir. So what I'd like to do now is I'd like to introduce you to the sixth choir and their making a home for the Archangel Kasael. Zakael. And begin.
Prologue for Zadkiel. The Archangel Zadkiel is the ruler of the sixth choir or hall of heaven. He is the instrument of divine justice, but justice tempered with compassion. It was Zadkiel who held back Abraham's hand and spared the life of Isaac. Zadkiel acted not from his own will, but as an instrument of God. Yet, despite this impartiality, in this act he was the embodiment of mercy. Zadkiel was the agent of compassion steeled with purity of intent that enabled Abraham's complete surrender. That surrender of Abraham fueled a transformation that rendered a terrible wrong into an affirmation of what is most true, a sacrifice of self that gave the traditions of the book 4 millennia of life. It is in Zadkiel's sixth chamber that justice and righteousness are most perfectly expressed and made manifest. Every impulse towards fairness and active justice are inspired by the passage of Zadkiel through the chamber and awakened in human hearts. The profound reality of Zadkiel and the sixth heaven, where he presides, is known through the lens of many different cultures, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Jainism, Hermeticism, Gnosticism, all acknowledge the sacred space that is indistinguishable from its ruler. The Romans recognized Jupiter, the king of the gods, in the sixth chamber, as did Dante in the Paradiso of his Divine Comedy. In Cantos 19 and 20, Dante described the sixth sphere as the final resting place of all just rulers who through the imperial eagle announced with one voice the justice of God. The Ayyavashi Hindus acknowledged the sixth loga, or heaven, as the Shiva loga, atop Mount Kailash in the Himalayas on the Tibetan border, the dwelling place of the supreme god Shiva, sometimes called Parameshwar. Shiva is alternately called the destroyer and the transformer, who breaks the bonds of attachment, dispels ignorance, and breaks identification with inner and outer forms. Shiva destroys to clear the way for new creation. The cosmic dancer who performs the dance of bliss, gracefully undulating his four arms, his third eye gazing hypnotically from his forehead, a snake, the symbol of Kundalini, is coiled around his neck, and a silvery, cool crescent moon rests atop his head as an incarnation of the Grail. On the mountaintop, Shiva lives with his wife Parvati, the great goddess, and their son Ganesh, the god of prosperity, who surely has a special affinity for our school. All these seemingly divergent forms are merely different guises of a reality more profound than the sleeping human intellect can grasp. But hidden in these currents, and no less powerful or pervasive in its impact, is the sure signature of Zadkiel, shining through all illusory forms. As the Voyager's quatrain unequivocally states, all phenomena is illusion. The great Vajrayana sage, Milarepa, seeking to establish Buddhism in Tibet, engaged in a magical battle with the Bon shaman, Naro Bon Chung, to win the heart of the Tibetan people. It is said they battled for many days with no clear victor. The final and decisive stage of the battle was a race to the top of Mount Kailash, the same mountain associated with Shiva. Milarepa won, but in a gesture of generosity and compassion, tossed a snowball to Naro Bon Chung, a gesture understood to symbolize the syncretic integration of the new dispensation of Buddhism with the old shamanic Bon tradition. There could hardly be a more perfect expression of the Archangel Zadkiel's righteous compassion and sense of justice that transcends ego. Zadkiel's mystery is the reconciliation of weakness and strength. Just as he stayed the hand of Abraham and showed how the sacrifice of faith could yield transformation, Zadkiel slips weakness from its karmic chains and reveals its new form as a unique and singularly creative manifestation that is the true and strong expression of the One. Ode to the Mirrored One. Zadkiel, great archangel of the mirror chamber that reflects secrets and salvation. Funhouse mirror angel who turns everything upside down to show the way home. Wingman of Zeus, companion of pantheons, who sees in all directions with the multitudinous eyes of the cherubim. I thought the path went down, but you turned it up. You gave the grave, cloaked in the sorry stench of decay and sunken in self-pity, haunted by the seven sorrows, not just a pretty face, but a true countenance. The darkness of the cave dissipates when your hand fuels the fire in the secret crevasse. But in that impartial quicksilver mirror that you reveal and hide yourself behind, I discover that the subterranean blaze is revealed first through dense smoke, then through humid steam all billowing white, then from a depth churning blue currents as an undersea storm, a tumultuous within a deep, watery canyon, hidden many depths below seemingly calm waves that process far from any known land. A voice cries out, I am Isaac, Abraham's son. With my tears I wash your feet. Your firm grip on my father's deliberate dagger hand made me anew from that perilous moment, which is none other than our present abode. Now as I stare into your glittering, mirrored eyes, I see a soul bound not by the law, but unchained by spirit. The spirit of the womb where I dwell and grow in readiness, the determined cutting edge of my father and the nurturing milk of my mother are reconciled in the thousand delicate mercies that blossom in the gardens of your hall. I recognize myself, and I am called by the name that you have revealed to me. I am Lazarus. I am raised up as I pass through the second chamber of the first hall, and you have burned away every mask I wore with a searing, brilliant rain of acid. And when my face was exposed, and I was finally naked, you made sure the promise was fulfilled. And as I sit in the sixth heaven, your imperial angel cries for justice finally perfected in this realm atop Mount Colossa. On my left is Father Zeus. His presence is a conflagration, and in this purple fire, only the compassionate justice of the king is unconsumed. And on my right, reflected in your mirrored eyes, I see the auspicious one, Parameshwara, the supreme god, in the faceless form of the great lingam, the one who is called Shiva. And in the sultry sky of a luxurious summer raga, his wife Parvati, the great goddess, is arrayed in a silken sari the color of spring violets, bordered with the late afternoon sun and textured with cool veins of Himalayan snows. She nurtures their infant elephantine son, Ganesh, fruit of righteousness and mercy, the benevolent dispenser of prosperity and patron of the ashram. But in your mirrored eyes, what was a craggy, towering mountain appears out of the slowly evaporating mist to be the cross, stretching tall over the hillside and casting a stark shadow silhouetted across the rock-strewn field of Golgotha, cluttered with skulls and sorrow, now finally giving way to light, a light of hospitality. Holy Angel Zadkiel, you are the jewel whose facets dispense the light of the Beloved, the light of this sacred chamber into the shadows of the slumbering city of man. And once touched by your light, no heart stalks the famine-plagued fields in a dusk made weary with aimless labors. But in that sacred light, first, the test of unwavering faith, the test of Abraham, patriarch of the people of the book, called to obedience, then justice made manifest by the spared blood of an innocent youth, the sparing of Isaac, who is revealed as the risen Lazarus, the one who fulfills the promise of the new covenant, a covenant bound with the mystery of forgiveness and surrender. This history is holy, written in the blood of Zadkiel. It is the destiny of every world and every heart. This is a story that those narrowed eyes will tell when you finally let yourself see.
I invoke the presence of the guardian of the second chamber of the first hall of heaven, the angel the righteous angel, the angel of benevolence, mercy, and remembering,
who is chief of the order of dominions, one of the great nine rulers of the citadel of heaven, among the seven great angels who remain undissolved in the divine presence, the angel Zadkiel I invoke. Let us begin. Breathe in, breathe out. Let your eyes close, or let them rest with diffused vision of one thought. Start to relax your body, beginning with your feet. Breathe in. Breathe out as a feeling of warmth and happiness fill your feet. Feeling light, loose. Relax your ankles. The feeling of relaxation continues. Feel the relaxing, light, alive, and spreading into your upper legs. Let the muscles of your legs completely let go. Let go of the tension in your hips and belly. Keep breathing. Light. You feel your belly and back relaxing. All tension is releasing. Keep breathing. You feel the relaxation. Your lungs, like the wings of the angels, light, alive, breathe in, breathe out. Let your hands now relax all the way from your fingertips to your wrists, your lower arms relaxing, letting go, the toes and upper arms. Shoulders, feel them lowering slightly, finding a comfortable, relaxed position, free from all tension. Feel light, alive. Now the muscles of your neck begin to relax, letting go. All the tensions and emotions in your face and head are relaxed. Relax even more deeply. You are becoming light and alive. Now as your breath flows and deepens, turn your attention inward even more deeply. The light that is your deep self. Imagine, if you will, the person you believe yourself to be right now. It's okay if you're not quite sure who you are. Just picture yourself going about the things you usually do in an ordinary day. Imagine that you are watching yourself, observing yourself going about your usual activities, seeing yourself getting up in the morning, going about your day. Imagine the things that you do in a typical day? To this person, you, standing in an empty room, you are watching this person, observe with impassioned, impartial compassion. Imagine stripping away all the things that hold you back from your full potential. Doubt dissolving. Imagine all the things that get in your way. Self-pity, lack of resources, lack of forgiveness, illness, baggage from the past. As you breathe in and breathe out. Anything that is holding you back in any way begins to dissolve, disappearing, falling away like the shrouds from around love. You are standing with light arising in an empty room. What is left? Who is this person when all those barriers and beliefs are stripped away? It's you. You at the core. The pure character that is left when there is nothing to get in the way, when there are no beliefs, no considerations. See in your heart's eye, who is left when all barriers and fears are removed? Like Lazarus, you are being called forth from the darkness into the light, alive. See yourself set free like Isaac, free from the bondage of the beliefs of the fathers, your sacrifices of loveless duties, outgrown beliefs. You see yourself as a child of light, and remember that Isaac's true name is God laughs. And you know you are a living light, co-creator in the divine play. And at the heart of the universe is love and love. Breathe in, breathe out. This is you. Welcome home. Allow yourself to become yourself. Allow yourself to know who you are for this moment. Just be. Being and calm, secure in remembering who you are. It's you. Breathe in, breathe out. of their deep and shining self. You can take this sense of self with you, allowing the essence to shine through in your everyday life. Your values, personalities, motivations, past, present, and future, this self shines through. It is who you are. You have always been this person. Underneath the challenges, the baggage, the demands of living life, this is the real you, and it will always be with you. Celebrate yourself, a dance of light and infinite extension. Know that you are stronger than hate, older than death, deeper than mystery, more true than self. You are always living love. It is time for us to return now to conclude this exercise. Breathe in, breathe out. As you return, keep the image of your deep self with you in the hours and days to come. Express this true self. Allow you to be you. Now, as you breathe in, breathe out. Wiggle your fingers, waking up your hands. Move your toes, allowing your feet and legs to wake up alive and filled with joy. Feel your muscles reawakening and your whole body filling with energy. Sit quietly for a moment while you reorient to your surroundings. When you are completely awake and alert, you can return feeling confident and calm, in touch with your deep self. Blessed Angel Zadkiel, be our protector. Bring us safely through your domain and help us to remember our non-phenomenal self.
beyond the flame as I push on through to realize the world is not far behind me. Open one step, carried off to your mind. Zachiel, Zachiel, now enlighten the way you find the super thing, the laser guide. Healing might amplify.
We want to thank the Sixth Choir for introducing us so beautifully to the Archangel Zadkiel. And the wonderful readings that everybody did in these poems were just moving. Thank you all. Thank you, the whole group, and everybody that was able to participate in various ways. So I'm going to try to get that guided meditation, if you could send that final copy to me. And a Mark, that was really wonderful, closing your poem, closing us out into the next realm was quite something. So thank you for that. If you could write that down and send it to me, and I have the last of yours, Gnostic Man and Badir. Unless you changed it, in which case, send me the changed version, and by the weekend I'll have those up on the site. And that means up on the site are 7 presentations, I think.
7 choirs, yeah.
There's 7 choirs that go on the site, and as you see, when I first launched this chapter, I put images of each of the angels up. Mm. Beside each angel now, we have grown presentations. Down below are the audio files and the logs relating to those presentations. So it's a mini handbook. It's a mini angelic handbook that is there and available. I think most of it I've been able to put up as PDFs, but if anybody wants to take it to the next level, let me know, and we'll go there too. But there's a lot. This was a markedly different presentation. Obviously, Kasiel was still reverberating in my brain when I started, but Zadkiel now has been introduced. What a tone, huh? Yeah, I mean,
very
just
strong.
I would characterize it as a distinct. There's a bit of a determined and hopeful feeling, I guess, is a sense of what's in me. The Gabriel, which was last time, of course, I felt kind of joyous and happy when I left. This is like there's a strength to this particular tone that was there. And I'm interested in, put down what you think, what's hitting you right now. Right now you are in an altered state. You're not in the normal day-to-day mechanical state that you drag along with you like your house and all your other belongings. You are relieved of that. Breathe in, breathe out. So we are relieved of some of that. Therefore we can, what did we say in the chapter on page 147? Watch your machine when you're in these higher dimensions, when you're being affected like that. What's your machine doing? How did it respond? That's part of the work we can do. We take these workers that put in a great many hours, and they put together something. They open the door for us, not for themselves, but so that we could experience that, and then we have a sense of being touched briefly by that dimension. And when we're touched briefly by that dimension, it becomes like a stake in the ground, I'll tell you. It's a stake in the ground. Now, we'll get into, in the next few months, we're going to get deeply into the concept of cleansing radiations.
We do have comments when you're ready.
I'm just winding down here, Susan. I'm uncorking a bit, but I'd love to hear what the comments are, please.
Okay. Hawk Lady said it was so beautiful. At this moment, that's the only word coming to me. I'm still moved.
So beautiful. That's the only word coming to her, Hawk Lady says to us. Thank you, Hawk Lady.
Silverdale says, wonderful invocation. Thank you, Jed Kiel and helpers.
Indeed.
Lost Horizon said, thank you all for your assistance. It was very hard to coordinate this. and the feedback helps.
Yes.
So this feedback helps.
Good.
Papama said, that was awesome. Thank you all.
Good.
Tianjo says, my thanks to this choir, a peaceful space filled with kindness. The readings were extraordinary.
Okay.
Mark Roach missed the first half, had sound issues, but what I heard was wonderful. Thank you to the sixth choir. Kath Rose said, thank you all. It was wonderful.
Great.
Lost Horizon said, in a way, I felt that dealing with our technical issues was somehow part of the invocation.
Let's stop on that point for a moment.
Great.
So what Lost Horizon says is that dealing with the technical issues was somehow part of the problem, or part of the invocation.
Part of the invocation.
Part of the solution.
It's part of the invocation. And when we are more Bardo walkers, when we become more Bardo walkers, nothing is not part of it. We walk, as we walk the earth, we notice everything that happens in regard to a particular situation. you've been coming to the show for a month, a couple months? 2.5 months, Tamara and Lost Horizon are saying. How many times have I gotten up from dinner late? Do you remember? Never. I was late tonight. I got up from the dinner space late. That was my first big sign. I noticed at that moment, I thought, oh, I see. I don't know what I was going to see. But if we have the right eyes on, we're always watching the invocation. The Bardo is happening all the time. What eyes, with what eyes are you going to look? If you want to look and you're looking with the eyes of the mechanical man, guess what you're going to see? But if you want a new world, if you want to discover the new land, then your eyes will become clarified. And suddenly everything becomes part of it. And we thought, this is going to be a disaster. We couldn't get the mics in here. We had this music, nothing, that didn't work. We had this stupid computer, and then Mark's, every time he turned his microphone on in Second Life, there was this enormous, horrible background noise. At one point, I realized, you just go with it. You go with whatever it is that's dictating at that time. There was nothing wrong, okay? There was nothing fundamentally wrong. It just didn't fit a particular mold. So we went with it. And what happened when he turned his mic on? Perfect. So where did that sound go? Exactly. I don't know. Maybe he's a electronic mechanical genius of some sort. I don't know. But from my point of view, it was cleansed by the space because of the work individuals did and the intention with which they've brought their presence to this environment. So Lost Horizon is right. That was part of it. It's almost like, so you guys really want this invocation? Let's see. Shake, rattle, and roll. Are you really serious? I'm not going to let you tie it up with a little bow this time. Because I'm cool and groovy Zod Kael. Anyway, it just reminded me of many instances when you have to look with broader eyes to see what's going on around us. So.
Well, and Gabriel would teach us how to see the messages.
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And so if you are in the mechanical self, if you are in mechanicality, the messages you will see are related to mechanicality. Everything will fall into place as such. Period. That will be. But if you open your eyes to a different zone, you've heard the term, and you know, I tend to stay away from terms a lot, but you hear the term, you know, parallel universes, right? I don't like to necessarily invoke a lot of these terms that have become second nature. What I want to say is there's another world occurring out there, and we can see it by the intentional invocation of our special attention. And these choirs have allowed us to do that in a special way. Go ahead, Susan.
Further comments. I said thank you for the beautiful invocation. I couldn't hear a lot of the presentation, but I definitely felt the energy of that Keo.
Okay.
Silverdale says, I was carried by the wave of the devotional force.
Oh.
Lost Horizon said, very distinct presence. Winnipeg 9 said, hard to juggle it all, Lost Horizon.
Winnipeg 9, yeah, good. Yes, indeed.
Happiness said, I feel lighter, less weighed down.
Okay.
Irie said, thank you.
Okay.
Silverdale, together our presence is greater than attempting this individually.
Absolutely.
I agree with that.
Yeah, and that's a point that we're going to, we should probably explore that. We are going to get into chapter 15 next week, but we need to keep exploring this idea of group work. It's not a simple thing. It's not a theory. this is the actuality of it. At our level, we're beginners, okay? We're beginners in this invocational type work. And so we need our group to come together so that there's a little couple, two or three extra beginners together. And when we're all together, we kind of make a little bit, almost even a part of a whole. Okay? But you can't do it just on your own, this type of thing. We're quite fortunate. We're very fortunate. I mean, there's a lot of people that are, we happen to have a true certified scholar amongst us with Silverdale. There's no question about that. But I'm sure that there are scholars out there, plenty, in the Fourth Way area of all of these things. Listen to this Gnostic man. Oh my God, this guy's walking encyclopedia. But in order to weave together a fabric that can create a platform upon which we can stand and let our essential selves be partially touched by higher vibrational forces, you need a group. Okay. A lot of times when people say, well, we need a group, and you start, because we're, most of us are guilty Lutherans, Catholics, Jews, other. Okay. Huh?
Unitarians.
But guilty. You need a group. Oh, yeah, I need a group because group people will tell me what my sins are. And that's the purpose of a group. Maybe. That's a bit of a purpose. This is a purpose of a group. But people have to become housebroken in a invocational manner is so that they can participate in such a thing. They have to show up at the meetings, write something down, be willing to put themselves out. Look at this mark. What? This is incredible. Okay? Yeah, so thank you for that, Silverdale. Okay, Susan.
Well, I was going to say one thing about the group is it allows each individualness to shine, and then we get to put all those together, so it does make a whole.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so Pianjo says, I feel touched by kindness, a vast expanse of kindness and acceptance. Mark Roach said, felt comforting, caring, pleasantly otherworldly, soothing and protective. Pianjo said, when a personage of the magnitude of Zadkiel rolls into our invocational space, technical issues fade away.
Thank you.
Good way to put it.
Well put.
That seems to be the case.
And then the last comment from Happiness. The intent expressed belies novices, I think.
Good. Okay. It's a good quote. Yeah. Well, I've kept everybody past their bedtime. Particularly, none of those people from Spain are here, though, so they would really...
The Toronto
people, they got toothpicks in their eyelids to keep us... keep going, and some of them have to be in school first thing in the morning. So we'll call it a night, and we're just going to go on to chapter 15. Ivan won't be here next week, and we'll see. George and I, I'm sure, hopefully we'll talk in the next over the weekend and see if we can get something going for everybody. But so I thank everybody for coming again this evening. What a pleasure it is to have everybody here. So,
yes.
Angels keep late hours, Mark Rose was telling us.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably right, because that guy's up
indeed
all night. So thank you. We look forward to seeing you next Wednesday. Good night.
Thank you all.
Thank you all.